This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is Love Sport.
Nigel Rothband and David Blakeney, what a show we have for you coming up in the next hour. We, of course, are going to be looking at that really close, tight-knit game with Villa on the weekend. City just about snatching the 3 points there. It was 6-1. Really good game. And then, obviously, we'll be talking about the League Cup semi-final, where City seemingly already have a foot in that final, where they'll look to defend that trophy because, well, did United even turn up? Is it even a derby anymore? United couldn't sell tickets. They couldn't score goals. They did get one, but the game was already over. City taking their foot off the pedal. We'll be discussing that. And delighted to say, City Square matchday presenter Danny Jackson will be joining us at 5:30 to talk about his role as matchday presenter and all the highs and the lows that come with it. So please stay around for that. And then we will look towards the game with Palace on the weekend. The Eagles are in town and we'll be talking to Harvey Jones to get the opposition view. Well, I want to be honest, because this is not only the first time I've met David and I have to spend an hour a week with Nigel, and, you know, we're talking highs and lows of jobs, and that's the low, you know, with the thick, with the thin, the rough and the smooth. It just is what it is. But I've decided, Nigel, in honour of one man and one man only this week, we should call this the Sergio Aguero Fan Show. And I think it's only right, isn't it?
I think it probably is. I mean, what is there left to say about the legend that is Sergio Aguero? Record goal scorer. Big debates going on, of course, about is he the greatest striker that, you know, the Premier League has ever seen. People talking about Shearer. Who's he talking about? Some French bloke from Arsenal. Listen, all great players. And isn't it fantastic to be able to sort of talk about the legends that are Shearer and Henri and others in that pot? He's been absolutely fantastic. And, of course, we've discussed before that when Pep arrived, people said, is he sort of Pep's type of player? Gabriel Jesus came in, of course. He was on his way out. Mm. But, you know, he's fought his way back. And that performance on Saturday, of course, Aguero got all the headlines, broke two records, of course. It's not just about being the leading foreign goal scorer, but it's, of course, now the most number of hat-tricks as well, yeah, in the Premier League. And it was City at their best. You know, those last couple of seasons, the Centurions, the Formidables, we really saw that sort of form. And I mean, the pass from De Bruyne, for example.
Surgical.
I mean, it was like, you know, it's worth the admittance fee just to see that, wasn't it? So, you know, it was really good to see that. And particularly on the back of the midweek game against some mid-table side from just outside Manchester. It's just great to see City. Is that 9 wins out of the last 10 games we've played? Something like that. So, you know, really exciting time, playing some great football, and just delighted for Sergio because he's a legend. We use that term lightly, I know, but in his case, it's absolutely well deserved.
No, he is a legend. I mean, we could reel off numerous words to describe him, but we only get 1 hour, and this would take many, many days and weeks, let alone only the 1 hour they give us, David. But Nigel touched upon it there, saying that, you know, we can compare him to other legends and other great players who have played this game and look at where they are in the tables. And I'm not just saying this, I kind of sometimes, I don't like a debate where we compare it. We do it with Pep, you know, is he the greatest manager? Is it someone else? Is it this person? And then there's always that Ronaldo and Messi debate. And we're doing it now with Aguero a little bit. But I'm not just saying it because we are on the City show, but I remember Aguero's first game and his first goal and everything he's gone on to achieve since. And for me, it's not about comparing. We have seen this man play, and for you, the City fans, watching him in your team's colours, but even from the outside perspective, watching this man play and score these goals and what he's given to this side, it doesn't matter where he is or where does he rank. He's absolutely, you know, once in a generation, an elite player who doesn't come around every decade.
Yeah, I think there's actually more to him than just his goals and his play. It's off the field as well. And Pep alluded to that yesterday. I think you can only remember one occasion when he was in the headlines for anything but football. I think that was that taxi moment, wasn't it? He was in so he's an all-round model for everything. But you know what summed him up yesterday? And I might have misread this, but I was watching yesterday at half-time because he went off and he was chatting to Mahrez. And I think what he was saying is, why didn't you pass to me on the 1-on-1? Because he wants to score as many goals as possible, and he's demanding off the other players as well. And I think he was having a little bit of a pop at Mahrez for not passing him. If you listen to his interview at the end, he alluded to, yeah, it's brilliant, but when he passes to me, I can score goals. And he made, I think, a bit of a pop at him because that's how demanding he is, because he's ruthless and he just wants to score. But he was at his very best yesterday because every time he got it, he just smacked it. And he does have his moments, doesn't he, Nigel, when he does play some games and he doesn't get any force behind it and he has his off days. And you don't know how he can have an off day when he's having an on day. But he was absolutely unbelievable yesterday. It was about him yesterday. And he's actually only one off 250 now for City. So he could have got three special milestones yesterday.
I know, and these players don't come around. David's listing off his achievements. I mean, it's unbelievable. And you know, when you sign a player for big money, I mean, they're all pretty much big money nowadays in the market that we live in. But you sign a player and you can only dream and hope that a player goes on to achieve this at your club. He has done. It's quite unachievable. We're talking one goal off 250, 12 hat-tricks. I mean, does he have off days? And I know City fans and Pep will say he does, but...
Of course he does. And Shearer had off days and Henri had off days. But the thing is, you have to think of those on days. And I go back to that magical moment in 2012. Mm. It's not just the record, but he was the person of all the people against QPR. Sort of, we needed to win that game. We hadn't lost a home all season. They were sort of doomed potentially, but actually they were safe. And suddenly in added time, he comes up with that goal, which was... I mean, I can't even describe my emotions. I still get emotional thinking about it now. It's goosebump time. It's hairs on the back of your neck stuff. And that will go down, of course, in folklore, that first league title in 44 years. Just magical. But it's interesting the sort of player he is, and you're right not to make comparisons, because you can't compare a Shearer with an Aguero. Shearer was an old-fashioned English centre-forward, great in the air. Well, Aguero's not that good. He's pretty good in the air, considering he's only 4'8". You know, so he does actually get up there reasonably.
That's giving him a few inches.
Exactly. But, you know, he's strong and he's difficult to shrug off the ball, and he's really dynamically quick off 5 yards, you know. And as David rightly says, he knows where the back of the net is. But not only has he been such a fantastic player, but just think about those players we've had around him in this era as well. You know, the companies of this world, the David Silvers, the Kevin De Bruyne's, and adding, you know, and then with Sergio as well, and all those trophies we've won. You know, being a City fan, it is just fantastic to be able to celebrate all those league titles, the FA Cups. We own the Carabao Cup, as we know that now anyway, so that's ours forever. But it's just brilliant, and he's been an absolute critical part of that. He's just magnificent. The interesting thing, of course, Charlie, is that in terms of Footballer of the Year, he's never won that. Mm. And in terms of Team of the Year, I think he's only got in there twice.
Well, this is the interesting debate, because some people, when they do make these comparisons, they go, well, he's only won this and he's not been nominated in this. And again, you can't reflect that on a player's inability or how he's contributed to a team. I must quickly add, and shame on me for not bringing it up at the start, for all of you that are listening, and of course you all are, Nigel is wearing an Aguero Man City shirt. Not just any Aguero shirt. He does have on the back, and the letters do go all the way down. It says Aguero. It's unbelievable, and so much so that he wanted those O's to continue. They are stitched and tattooed into his leg. It's quite something. I mean, a feat that only a few men can achieve. David, when we're talking about this City side at the minute, Nigel mentions it, 9 wins in 11, 10 wins in 11. The form's really, I don't want to say turned a corner, but in there, you know, it was the double loss to Wolves, the loss to Norwich, and falling away maybe just a little bit in the Premier League this season. Liverpool obviously slightly running away with it. Why have they kind of found a new gear at the minute and sort of maybe found something that wasn't there in the first few months of the season?
I think it's funny, actually, because last year we had a really bad time around Christmas. I think apart from a couple of the injuries, obviously with Laporte, I don't think we played that difficult games. And I think we've got most of our players fit at the moment. Mm. And that is having an impact. The only game we lost was a Wolves game, and that was just a stupid loss. You know, we gave that away, even though we had 10 men for the whole thing. I just think maybe they've had a kick at the backside, and I just think maybe they've realised they're really... Maybe complacency before that. Some of those games were complacency, because I think they've just woken up again. Because sometimes with City, they can get a little bit lethargic suddenly. They go through the motions, they pass it around. And I think they just stepped up a gear, and maybe Pep's had a go at them. And that's the only reason I can think of.
It is a strange one. Nigel, is there anything that you've seen in a team, you watch your team religiously? What's made, I don't want to say spark this upturn, it's even interesting when we say City are having a downturn and they're progressing in the cups, you know, through to the knockout stages of Champions League, second in the league, but they wasn't up to their own usual high standards.
Indeed, and I'm wondering whether, and this is all speculation, look, I suppose the pressure's off, isn't it, in the league really now for City. We're coming off the back of two amazing seasons. It is difficult, I've said this before, Charlie, with you, that it's difficult to maintain that sort of momentum and that sort of standard over three seasons. It's very rarely done that a team would win it three times on the trot. So maybe people are saying, and Pep's kind of now saying that the league's gone, we can concentrate on the cup competitions. Yeah, listen, Villa weren't a fantastic opposition. They're in free fall. They're now in the bottom three. They didn't look great at the weekend. But slightly different formation as well. Interesting, for the first time in a couple of years, he played Jesus and Aguero up top. Mahrez is coming into form and looking a different player. So maybe it's partly the pressure's off a bit. There maybe have been some complacency, as David rightly says. And all of these things, it's always a combination of things. I don't think it's ever one thing that sort of happens. And Liverpool continue, of course, to dominate and continue to perform well and continue to put in the results. So they are looking as though they're going to walk away with it, sadly.
Yeah, we'll talk about them maybe being City's main rival now, with obviously Man United obviously fading away somewhat badly over the last few years. But we'll talk about City's own high standards. Just a couple of stats, because we're talking about Aguero stats. But since the start of 2016-17 season, Manchester City have scored 343 Premier League goals. That is 42 more than any other team. This was Guardiola's 300th top flight league win as a manager. He reached that tally in 390 games. No one else has done that. City's David Silva has assisted 21 Premier League goals for teammate Sergio Aguero. The only player who's done more is Frank Lampard for Drogba. Mahrez is the only Premier League player to score and assist 20 goals since the start of last season. It's 21 goals, 23 assists for him. De Bruyne up 15 goals this season, 5 more than any other Premier League player. And obviously, Gabriel Jesus has started 76 matches for City in all competitions, and he's been involved in 71 goals in those 76 games. I mean
that's the interesting fact that I think we did touch on that last week, actually, this Gabriel Jesus stat, because people sometimes criticise him and say he's not like Aguero, he's caught offside too often, he doesn't maybe score enough goals, but 76 matches and 71 goals. I mean, that is quite a staggering statistic. He's still a very young man as well, of course.
I was going to say, the thing about Jesus, I don't think he plays sometimes with a confidence like Aguero has. And I think he's not
that
quite
ruthlessness,
there.
David.
He's not got the... You know, the funny thing is, he's a very cool finisher. I mean, when we got 100 points and that goal he scored in the last minute against Southampton, that was such a cool finish. And it was such an important... What it meant to City, that one. He is a cool finisher, but I just don't think... He hasn't got the belief yet that he can be a world beater.
David, how old is he?
Yeah, I'm saying he's young, but that's why he's still a little bit, wet behind the ears. And it's going to take... And I think having Aguero there puts this extra pressure on him, because they expect him to be Aguero. He is young, but I think he's got the potential.
David, can I ask, because when we talk to some other fan shows, and, you know, obviously they don't matter, this is the one that does, and we talk to them about Jesus, they say, oh, does he fit in at City? I'd love it if we can get him. Apparently, he's there for the taking. Everyone thinks that City aren't sold on him, that, you know, he can be bought, maybe he can join another team. Is this how the City fans see it?
It's quite critical, some of the fans, because they're so used to Aguero that's why they become critical. The problem with the City fans now, and all of us, is we expect to score all the time. And if you miss a few chances, then suddenly you're not as good as you're meant to be. And I think that this is all a combination for Jesus. And I think when he had a few injuries. I think when he has enough game time and he has a decent run and he gets his confidence, then he's very good. I just think he needs a bit more experience.
Yeah, and Nigel mentioned he is so young. We're going to be talking about that first leg semi-final victory in the League Cup against Man United next, and how City, they own the Carabao Cup. They're already looking forward to the final.
This is Love Sport.
got the first podcast out. I love it. We've beat the City Show podcast this week. Nigel's not happy about that, let me tell you. We are now talking about that Carabao Cup win over Man United in the week. Last week it was at Old Trafford, beating them 3-1. Nigel, you mentioned that City, obviously, cheekily, they own the Carabao Cup. It is theirs. They are the defending champions. You know, they're going on an absolute tear. But they seemingly own Old Trafford as well at the minute, don't they?
It's good to see, and it's not always been that way, of course. And at the moment, it's good to see them in a little bit of disarray. As you said at the start, Charlie couldn't sell out, and clearly having a difficult time. But City first half were absolutely extraordinary, and I kind of referred to that earlier on, the sort of combination of the game against Villa and then this cup game just outside Manchester was absolutely phenomenal. And actually, it was interesting what I heard and read later was Pep was absolutely furious, and that's the interesting thing that I think, maybe thinking back to a question you asked me earlier, one of the reasons there was maybe that reaction against Villa was because he was so furious about the finishing. I mean, that should really have been another 6-1 win, to be honest. To be only 3-0 up at half time was probably really disappointing, because we dominated the game, we had so many chances. Interesting that Sterling had a difficult time. Played a lot of football. Maybe he's tired, but he's quite not on the case at the moment, and it's maybe why he was rested for the game against Villa. But that having been said, we completely dominated that game, and in terms of the power shift, there's no question they're really not up to us. They're well short of City standards, and good time for City. Enjoy it while it's last, because these things always go in cycles, of course.
Football's very cyclical. David, it's so difficult because, look, any time you beat Man United, any time you beat him at Old Trafford, fantastic. You know, it just gives you that spring in your step. But is there any small part of you, any case where you go, it's a little bit sad that the Manchester derbies have come to this? You know, our biggest rival, if you want to call them your biggest rivals, they can't sell out tickets. You're absolutely freshening them. I know you always want to freshen them, but where they are and where that you are, some would say this game, it's not even competitive. And I know Nigel would go, look, we're talking about facing a Man United side, and we're not only are we're not delighted that we're 3-0 up, we're angry we're not 6-0 up. I mean, this is the gulf of the sides at the minute.
Yeah. What says it all is, I think most City fans in the old days would be texting, emailing, all the banter
bragging
against
rights.
United, bragging rights. And someone I know only ever sends me a WhatsApp when United win against City. And I went,
we've all got those friends.
I said, well, that's probably the only moment you get all season of happiness, because basically we beat United, it's like, well, it's like beating any other side at the moment. It doesn't feel as exciting. I mean, I think the way we played against United was quite exciting, but more about the way we played than it was United. But, you know, we are having difficulty against them at home, and they have actually caused us a couple of problems over the last couple of seasons, especially when we, 2 years ago, when we 2-0 up to win the league and then suddenly we blew it. That was a bit disappointing. So they have had their moments, but I think without doubt now Liverpool is for us the game. I mean, when you look at the intensity of a Liverpool City game now, it's unbelievable. And that's probably, I would think, one of the most watched matches in the world now. Is City Liverpool, not City United.
Yeah, such a telling stat that, you know, everyone now wants to see City United. I know for you, Nigel, beating United will always bring that smile on your face, but there is an element to it now where it doesn't give you a, oh, we beat United one over on them, because you are expecting it. It has moved on, and the focus is Liverpool, isn't it?
I think it is now. There is a gulf now, and Liverpool have proved sort of they were great last season, they're even better this season, gone on the most amazing run, and if they end up winning the league, it's never a fluke. It's always the best team in the league that win it, and we should congratulate them if that's what happens, no question. But as far as the other lot are concerned, they really have gone backwards, and I did question at the time the appointment of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, because I just couldn't quite understand. I understand the fact that he's a legend there, he played for the club, and when he first took over there was a bit of a bounce, but actually we have to remember he took Cardiff City down. And you look at the sort of people who are managing the top clubs, you've got Klopp at Liverpool, you've got Guardiola at City, and you've got him there. There is no comparison with his pedigree. And you just think about the changes they've had and the number of managers they've had in two or three seasons. It's been a bit of a revolving door. And there are problems, you know, from the boardroom right the way through to the playing staff, and there needs to be a big clear out. And I'm just not sure he's the right man for that job. I mean, it's great. I'm delighted. I hope he stays there for years as a City fan. But actually, if I supported them, genuinely, I would be concerned because I just don't think he has the pedigree. I don't think he has the track record. Legend, fine. That's great. But that doesn't win you trophies. That doesn't get you turning around a problem situation, which thankfully they've got there. Long may it continue, Charlie.
Yeah, long may it continue. Obviously, Solskjaer having his problems, as are United. It's so difficult, obviously, when you're talking about a rival, saying, you know, what's going wrong there, because you don't really care. But now in terms of Liverpool and yourselves, City, how much are these two, how big is that gulf at the minute? Because we know it's a gulf to the other teams, and everyone else is trying to be that City, David. Everyone's trying to be that Liverpool. How big is the bridge between everyone else?
I think it's big, but I think people,
it's a chasm.
You know, but it's more than just on the pitch. It's off the pitch. Yeah. And City's backroom staff, it's just unbelievable. The amount of people, they have someone to make the drinks, someone to do this. They have covered every area possible. And I think, you know, the sporting director is a quality sporting director. The board of City run an unbelievable. They know how to run a football club. They've done it at Barcelona. They've got a proven track record, and they are absolute geniuses at understanding the backroom staff. If you look at teams like Arsenal, their backroom staff, they're so weak in that area. United are weak in that area, but Liverpool and City, I think, the strongest off the field and the strongest on the field, and I think that's where the difference is, because a lot of it is behind the scenes. And I have to say, I think the City-Liverpool game last January when we beat them was one of the most intense, unbelievable games I can remember for many, many years. And I don't think anyone can get to that level at the moment. Got a long way to go, and they'd have to spend a lot of money.
Yeah, separating themselves from the pack. Really interesting stat there about the backroom staff. And how City are kind of not just dominating on the field, but off it as well. I want to quickly go back to that United game and talk about a player now, because the one thing I enjoy, and I almost smile to myself on this City show, we talk about Sterling. Then we've made this show about Aguero. We could talk about De Bruyne. We spoke a little bit about Mahrez. That not many teams can you go, this is the player. You have so many. And a player that I really want to talk about, another player I love, I know I have a different City favourite every week, but Bernardo Silva, not just because of the goal, but how special a talent and player is he? Because I feel like, I know he had an incident earlier in the season, me and Nigel addressed it, and every player, you know, as you said, with Aguero or Shearer or who, everyone has their off days, and I felt like he just sort of, I'm not saying he was going through a little quiet spell, but just maybe not as at the forefront as others were, but, you know, on his day, how big a player is he for this side?
I think on his day, he's magnificent. Mm. I think you're right, Charlie. He has had his challenges this season. Is that just a loss in form? Is that actually, was he affected by the stuff that was going on off the pitch? I suppose we'll never know. But there's no question that it's interesting, of course, against going back to the Villa game. Of course, he was rested against Villa, didn't even play in that game. Sterling didn't play in that game. So we have got...
Such is the depth, yeah.
We've got a wealth of talent, and it allows Pep to rotate his squad. And we're playing in all these competitions. Games are coming thick and fast now. So he can do that. But back to Bernardo. On his day, he is absolutely magnificent. And, you know, some people, you know, are talking about him as being sort of, you know, player of the year potential if he carries on like that. There are so many candidates. De Bruyne, of course, Sergio, David Silva in his last season. He was pretty good at the weekend as well. But Bernardo on his day is absolutely magnificent. He's a superb player.
Yeah, and unplayable last year. But David, not just is he unplayable, he's important to the way Pep wants to play. And how important is he to this side?
Well, I think he was... as a world-class player, I think he was the highest-ranking City player in the world rankings last year. And I think he was 9th or 10th. And I think that he deserved it, because I think the ball sticks at his feet, and his control of the ball is amazing. And he runs back, he works hard off the ball, and he's definitely back really playing well at the moment. And I think he's got his mojo back. And it's interesting, because if you watch Sterling at the moment, he is not quite there at the moment. He's just really been poor the last few games. Where Bernardo's naturally a better footballer. Sterling is struggling, but he's much better at scoring. So I think it's a bit of a concern on the Sterling side.
Yeah, what is interesting, because obviously we do the show every week, and this is your first one of the week, so I want to get it in early. But we talk about, obviously, maybe the league is over, we're concentrating on the Cups, we know that City want to win the Champions League, it's the one they haven't got, that Pep really wants to get that one with City, and there was a few murmurs, David and Nigel, a few whispers saying, yeah, but City aren't doing it in the league, how can they expect to do it in the Champions League? But with that comes, as Nigel said, there is no pressure in the Premier League at the minute. We're seeing them firing now on all cylinders. We're still waiting for Sterling to get back, like David says. Maybe this is the time. You are peaking at the right time for that Champions League run, Nigel.
Possibly, and it's great to see. The other thing...
Don't hold me back.
All right, well, let me add to that. Let me put fuel on the fire.
Yes.
Should we throw Laporte coming back into things?
Yeah, please.
Should we put Sane coming back into things, potentially? And then who knows? There may be a surprise up your sleeve. There might be somebody else that we don't know about in the transfer window in January as well. We bought Laporte last year in January, you may remember. So there might well be something like that. So the fact we've got Laporte coming back, the fact we've got Sane coming back, the fact we've got this whole situation of City winning sort of, you know, consistently now and playing the sort of football we're used to, then yeah, let's enjoy it. And who knows where it might take us.
Yeah, absolutely. I think through that quiet spell now actually comes a little bit of sunshine, maybe a really exciting end to the season, the second half of the season. One man who maybe will know a little bit more is Danny Jackson, and the City Square Matchday presenter, and he joins us next to maybe reveal, who knows.
This is Love Sport.
What a show we're having so far, talking about the brilliance of Aguero, Mahrez, De Bruyne, Bernardo Silva. I mean, the list continues, and apparently, I mean, I'm not seeing it. Sterling's not even firing on all cylinders at the minute. Can you imagine Sterling not on all cylinders and the goals he has scored this season? Speaking about Villa, speaking about the brilliant dominant win at Old Trafford against United, obviously in that League Cup semi-final, but now a little change of pace, because I'm delighted to say City Square Matchday presenter Danny Jackson has joined us. Danny, thank you so much for joining us and giving us a little bit of your time. I must admit, this is a real pleasure for us to have you on the City Show, just because I love your job, and Nigel was telling me a little bit about it. Lucky enough to hear those stories, which you obviously will share with us. But how much fun, really, on the first question, is it for you? Because I'm sure there's many highs and many lows, but a team you love, a team you support, and you're there, you're sharing those moments firsthand.
Yeah, good evening, Charlie. Good evening, guys. You know what? You summed it up perfectly then, Charlie. It's surreal is probably the best way to kind of describe it. You know, I've not come from a media background. You know, I've not got any kind of track record or history in terms of live media. To then get chucked on a stage or on a pitch on match days, you know, representing the club that I love, it's just a completely surreal experience. And I think, I think people like Nigel knows with me, I am who I am. I'm a mad City fan. I wear my heart on my sleeve when I'm on stage. And I think, I like to think that comes across well, you know, in terms of the guests that I interview. So if I'm interviewing an ex-player, you know, this is a guy that I probably follow, you know, the likes of Paul Lake and David White. And these are people that I followed as a kid, watching, and then I didn't ever even think I thought I'd meet them or speak to them. To then be sat there chatting football, chatting City with them, it's just an unbelievable experience. And I definitely don't take it for granted. I almost live every day like it's my last at City Square, because you never know what's going to happen in the future. But you know, I've got to say, you know, it's a dream job. I couldn't get a better job.
And how did it come about, Danny? I'm interested to know how you started, because you kind of said that you don't come from a media background, massive City fan, of course, you're a season card holder, home and away. So how did you first get involved in getting involved in City Square and the like?
Yeah, well, I actually, it all started with FanZone, which I did for Sky Sports. So I did that for 7 years, 7 seasons for City. So probably in that time, I would guess I probably did 7 or 8 matches a season. So people who don't know what FanZone is, it was kind of like, you know, it was an interactive option that Sky used to have. So you press the red button, and rather than listening to Martin Tyler, which, you know, it's quite good to mute that guy most of the time, you know, they could put two fans in a studio commentating, and not really commentating, but having banter about the game that they're watching. And I did that for, like I say, for about 7 seasons for City. I did some pretty big games, and I did one game the Munich anniversary derby where we won 2-1. Let's just say I got a little bit excited, and the clip of that was put out on YouTube. I believe it's had about 500,000 hits in the time, and then that got me noticed within the club, and people, you know, I did some videos for City TV for the website, you know, kind of interviews and different things. He followed me on a couple of away games and things like that. And then all of a sudden, City Square had been going about 6 months. Hugh Ferris, who I work with at City, he's still there now. He was doing it pretty much on his own. And he wanted a kind of a down-to-earth fan initially, just to go around chatting to fans, you know, score predictions and favourite players and all this kind of stuff. So they almost kind of auditioned me for it. They said, would I like the idea of it? And New Year's Day, which wasn't the best day to be doing it, really, after New Year's Eve, but they stuck me with a cameraman walking around the Etihad speaking to City fans, and it went down well, and then it's just evolved from there, really. I mean, you know, people who know what City Square is, I mean, it's a full production now. You know, we have it's a real show, whereas initially it was very raw, and it was very much just kind of filling gaps here and there. And as I say, I kind of stumbled across into it, but took to it pretty quickly, really. And as I said to you then, guys, you know, I've always been myself with it. I've never tried to be a presenter. I've always tried to be a fan, almost, you know, not believing the job that he's doing. And even, I think even to this day, I still try and be the same.
Yeah, Danny, two questions, really. So fascinating to hear you speak. One, what happened to Fan Zone? Because I used to watch it, you know, as a youngster. That was the commentary that I wanted to hear, because we're seeing the fans. We are the fans. It, to me, what they had to say was what I wanted to say. And secondly, on that, I think that's why fans, you know, that clubs have gone down this route, because we can relate to you. You've mentioned it there. You're the fan. You're not a presenter or media trained. You're saying what we're asking. And is there a case? I mean, I'm lucky I get to do this show and speak to the likes of yourself, Nigel and David, and there's that time, and we speak to ex-pros as well, where I have to keep that professional hat on, but I want to pinch myself. Yeah. I go, I can't believe this. And for you, do you do it now? You're like, I'm speaking to Aguero, I'm speaking to Pep. Like, it's mate, unbelievable.
You just can't believe how much I do that, you know. And I mean, you know, firstly to go on to the Fan Zone, what happened with Fan Zone, I think it become very difficult for Sky, because obviously you're working on the assumption that the two guys in the studio are not going to swear, they're not going to talk controversial about things that are in the media and things like that. And ultimately that was its downfall. There was a couple of occasions where certain fans owners, I mean, swear words did come out and they kind of apologised for, but they could get away with that as long as it wasn't too bad. But there was a few things that were said that really shouldn't have been said about rival clubs and their history and what had happened, you know. And in the end, I think they just got, you know, they obviously got to a point where they couldn't have it anymore. I think it was just too, because it's a very raw thing, isn't it? Two fans and the emotions that's involved in a game and things like that. And sometimes people, even as, you know, with the best will in the world, will slip up and say the wrong thing. And that's exactly what happened with Fans On. So in the end, they had the head. But, you know, what you're saying there about, you know, the surreal, you know, experience of doing what I'm doing. It's crazy. You know, I've hosted the parade at Albert Square and around Manchester the three times that we've won the league. So I'm stood in front of 100,000 people, and I've literally stood there as I'm about to start thinking, how the hell have I got myself up here? You know, kind of, you know, what, you know, and it kind of, it puts the fear of God into you. You know, you're really scared, you know, it really adds that adrenaline. But, you know, to kind of relate to the players a little bit, like I do, you know, Sergio, every game comes in, gives me a nice little foot fist pump, asks if I'm all right just before he walks in the building. It's just crazy. I mean, obviously, I have a lot of love for the current team and all the players that have done, you know, have been there since I've been doing City Square. But it's the old school ones that I really, I mean, awe of, the likes of, I mean, Paul Lake, I mean, you know, I'm pretty sure he took out a restraining order on me in the past, because that guy, mate, I've watched that guy through everything he went through as a footballer. And, you know, I get quite emotional when I meet people like that, because he was my idol. You know, you could say David Silva or Sergio Aguero is the greatest ever City player, but we all have our own individual idols, I think, as City fans for different reasons. And Lakey was mine. So, yeah, it's very surreal. But as I said, I just try to, and it was nice of you to say then, Charlie, you know, I'm relatable and I want to stay that way. I don't want to be a presenter. You know, I've been asked to get involved in quite a lot of stuff as spin-offs from doing what I do at City. And I've always said no, because for me, I'm only good at what I do because it's City. And I think I couldn't really, you know, transfer that onto something else, another subject or another club. I don't think I could put the same kind of character into it, if that makes sense.
Danny, hi, it's David. I touched before, I mean, just first of all on Paul Lake, if you think the three players in my mind, yeah. Colin Bell, Paul Lake, Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah.
And when you think of those three players, each one of those are fairly similar players, but shame about Paul Lake.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
a shame really about Colin Bell, because they both had nasty injuries. But yeah. Lake would have been a Kevin De Bruyne, in my opinion. Wouldn't probably yeah. everyone thinks the same. But I touched before about City off the field and the unbelievable way that club's run. You obviously would have met. I was very fortunate. I go every year to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and I've quite often met loads of the people, the city, a lot of the board have been out there, and quite a lot of the club have been out there. You know, the people behind the scenes, and I've been very lucky to meet them all. And first of all, they're the most down to earth people. They do a lot more behind the scenes, even with charity and with grassroots football. And they're just, in my opinion, an extremely well-run club and decent people. And they look after all those legends. Look at Mike Summerby. He's in a sanctum with them. And they've got so much respect for the history and the heritage of the club. They even let us choose our own badge when they rebranded. If you can give a little bit of a quick insight into the people behind, that would be great. Yeah.
Well, again, you know, you've summed it up right. You know, absolutely right. The people that are behind the scenes at the club have kind of helped the club get the status that it now is. I mean, from a commercial perspective, we all know how unbelievably well the club is doing, you know, with the group and the number of clubs within the group. But, you know, the people that are in and around City, behind the scenes at City, it's got the fans at the heart of absolutely everything they do. You know, there's a guy called Danny Wilson who I think
he's
one of the directors on the kind of ticketing side, the operations side. You know, Danny Wilson will reply to any email from a fan. If they've got a concern, an issue, you know, he will reply. And he kind of sets the tone for his team and the people that are around him. You know, the football people, you know, they don't want to lose touch with the fans, because they're obviously the lifeblood of the club. And, you know, what we do for the fans, I mean, I understand with what I do at City Square, you know, it isn't for everybody. You know, I don't envisage maybe necessarily a 27-year-old guy that wants to come and sit and watch, you know, likes me interviewing, you know, people, famous fans, or, you know, playing games on the stage. You know, we understand that maybe it's the families, the older people that will enjoy what we do. But the club do this for nothing. You know, no other club touches what we do. You know, we do this for nothing. This is a full production for 2 hours before every single game. And it isn't to make money. It's to create that match day experience. I mean, what we're seeing on the pitch from the team generally is another level. And I think what the kind of stuff that we do off the pitch to just really engage with the fans, you know, and as I said, the fans are absolutely at the heart of everything that City do. And I'm not saying that as a club man, I'm saying that as a fan, because I see it and I see fans that react to it. But as I say, it's not for everybody what I do necessarily, but there is a massive demographic that loves the kind of content that we put out there. But just to kind of keep them entertained, you know, you get to the match early, you get your pie, you get your, you know, your Coke, glass of Coke or whatever you might be drinking.
Other drinks are available, Danny.
Oh, of course they are. Alcohol normally is the preference, but I didn't want to say that.
Bother it.
Danny, listen, we could talk all night. I mean, it's absolutely fascinating. One last question from me. And clearly, you've mentioned the parades. I was at Brighton when you were handed the mic and you called those players out, which must have been a magical moment. Give me...
I've got goosebumps now. Don't talk about that.
Me too, mate.
I've got goosebumps.
It was just, I was so chuffed for you. It was just, it made my day, I have to say. It was just brilliant to see you do that. Very quickly, kind of, is there a highlight, Danny, for you, if you had to pick one moment for you in your City journey?
Yeah, can I pick two really quick? So the first parade.
Unbelievable. He went to pick two, and I think we've lost him. We're going to try and get... Is Danny there? We're going to try and get him back. Can you believe it? He went, my two highlights of the season. And it was like he left us on a hanger there. He was like, we don't know. But he was going to mention the parade there, wasn't he, Nige?
I reckon he was going... Well, listen, who knows? But, I mean, we could talk all night to Danny Jackson, couldn't we? I just thought that's just such a great story. And what I liked is the fact that he's a fan, and I just love the way he described...
I can't believe the line went dead. Honestly, I'm absolutely gutted about that. Danny Jackson there, just a City Square match day presenter. But I did mention that City weren't at their best, and now the sunshine came, their run is better. Maybe this is an omen that we'll just have to get Danny Jackson on next week or every other week, because I certainly want to talk to him again. We need to dedicate more time to him, because not just the highs, the lows, there's just that job, what it entails, honestly. And he was such a good speaker, obviously, being a presenter there. Danny Jackson, I'm a new fan, a favourite of mine, but we are getting another guest on now, because we're going to look at that Palace game, this time Harvey Jones, to give us an Eagles preview.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. This is Love Sport.
The Manchester City fan show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins, joining the studio with a Man City show podcast, Nigel Rothman and David Blakeney. Well, we're all sitting here on a high, really. We're all sitting here buzzing. We just spoke to Danny Jackson there, the City Square match day presenter. We lost him, but what a good guy he was. What a chat it was. We could have spoke to him for hours. Please check Danny out on Twitter at FanZoneDanny. And obviously, like he said, 2 hours of entertainment, not for money, just for you, the fans, families, children, anyone who enjoys it before the game, for a whole 2 hours. So please check them out. Someone I will make sure, and I know Nigel will definitely get him back on the show in the next few weeks or at the end of the season. And who knows, if he's ever in London, there's always a seat available for him, and it is Nigel's one. But we are going to look now at the game with the Eagles on the weekend. Delighted to say another man I always enjoy talking to. It is Crystal Palace vlogger Harvey Jones, who's going to give us the opposition view. Harvey, obviously a tough game on the weekend for Crystal Palace, playing City, but they got a point against Arsenal. They didn't start that well, but they really came back into it. Are they taking much momentum, confidence into this one?
Good evening, guys. I think the second half performance against Arsenal was definitely a positive for all the fans. That being said, when you're going into a game away to City, there's only so much confidence I think you can take into a game like that. That being said, of course, last year we had one of the best results since in our Premier League history, coming against City last season. An unbelievable game at the Etihad, and one that will definitely stand out for all Palace fans as a highlight of last season, for sure. I think just on the night, you've got to have a perfect performance. Every player on the pitch for Palace is going to have at least a 9 out of 10 performance. We're obviously... got a bit of an injury situation at the moment. We've got, I think, 11 players out at the moment with injuries, so really struggling in that department. That being said, Gary Cahill is back. He came back against Arsenal from quite a lengthy spell out, and he's been amazing for us this season. He's been so solid at the back and adds a real leadership, and it's something we've been lacking in previous seasons. So in games like this against City, against the big teams in the top four, top six, away from home, players like him are vital. And the odds are definitely against us. I'm definitely not expecting a repeat of last season. I don't think lightning will strike twice this time. But I definitely think that we're on a high at the moment. We're in a great spot in the league. This is a bit of a free hit. You know, it's not like we're down in near the bottom three and we need to get points in this game. We can go there with a bit of freedom. And if we stick to our game plan, we know how to beat City from last season. That is a positive you can take into this game. So we've got the experience on how to do it. It's just whether or not we can execute it for a second year in a row. But City are in such great form at the moment. I think it's going to be incredibly difficult.
I was going to start with last season, actually, with you, Harvey. I was at that game and I had a good view of that goal. Give you an opportunity to dwell on that a minute, I suppose it's only fair. What a cracking goal, and what a great performance you guys put in. Just want to spend a few moments just reflecting on that before we move forward to this weekend. And what was it about the team that day? What was it that made the difference, you think?
Yeah, thank you for letting us reflect on that.
Okay, you've done that. Right, so moving on to Saturday then.
I was there as well, actually, and it was unbelievable. I was right behind that strike from Townsend, and it's one of those moments that you're just never going to see again in your life. I don't think I'll ever see a better goal live. I don't think I'll ever see a Palace player hit a better strike, that's for sure. It was just an unbelievable night, an unbelievable occasion, an unbelievable atmosphere, definitely for us as away fans. And why we were so successful that night was just, I think, as I mentioned already, we stuck to a game plan. We went and executed it to perfection. All of the players, as I mentioned earlier as well, played a 9 out of 10 or a 10 out of 10 performance, every single one of them. And it was just a real togetherness, obviously going behind in the game as well, almost made it even more special that we came from behind at the Etihad. And at that point, City were unbeaten. I can't remember how long they were unbeaten for at that point, but we broke a really lengthy run that City had at home, being unbeaten. And yeah, it's just an absolutely awesome night. And but as we mentioned already, I think that the weekend fixture is going to be it's going to be a different story. I don't think it's going to be the same sort of game as it was last season. That's for sure.
Yeah, well, I've heard enough of last season now, Harv. I think we need to move on. Okay. But in terms of, let's talk about this weekend then. And you mentioned City in absolutely fantastic form. We seem to have picked up. I think we've only lost one in about 10 or 11 games. Scoring at will. Lots of players on form. Aguero breaking records left, right and centre. What chance have Palace got? OK, you got a point against Arsenal, but what chance do you really think you've got this weekend?
A small chance. Like I said, I'm a firm believer in lightning not striking twice. I think that the luck was with us last year. You have to have a bit of luck in these sort of fixtures. I think what worked so effectively last season, what I think we have to do again this time round for any sort of success, is negating your wing play. I thought last year, obviously, Wan-Bissaka is going to be a huge miss for us this season. He had probably his best game in a Palace shirt last year. What worked so well was our ability to force players like Sterling, Bernardo Silva inside to make the pitch incredibly narrow. City are so good with their wing play and the ability to stretch the pitch and make it and create space where teams, you know, they try and be compact against City, but these sort of players can always find space and generate space and, you know, create those opportunities out of nowhere. And I think the only way we really get any success out of this is to force these players inside, in towards players like Cahill, our experienced players in the middle, and obviously keep the space between midfield and defence incredibly tight and frustrate City. I think the longer it goes at 0-0, the more it goes into our hands. But of course, obviously being clinical on the counter-attack, I think that's what works so well last season. I think if there is one flaw, or I say flaw, there's hardly any flaws in City's team at the moment. They're unbelievable to watch. But if there's any weakness, you could say, in City's setup, is being vulnerable to a quick counter-attack. I think United exploited that brilliantly a few weeks ago at the Etihad in the Derby. Being quick on the counter-attack can cause City problems. And I think, well, we scored a goal last year. Our first goal was scored quickly on the counter-attack. So I think that is where we've got to be clinical, which is not something we have been this season, but you never know in the big game. But more importantly, it's just being defensively sound and really trying to negate that wing play and force players inside.
Absolutely. Very quickly, Harvey, then, what is your score prediction for the weekend?
Well, after all that, I'm going to predict a City win, to be honest. I'll go with a 3-1. We've had some really heavy score lines against City, the Etihad, so which made last season even more of a shock, really. So if we can keep the score line, especially the way City are playing at the moment, underneath three goals and maybe get a goal of our own, I'll be happy with that. These aren't the games that are going to define our season at the end of the day. So, as long as it's not a thrashing, I'll be happy.
Absolutely. Harvey, always good to have you on and talk to you. Harvey Jones there, Palace vlogger, giving us the opposition view very quickly, because we used all our time on Harvey and Danny. Just a score prediction from you both, Nigel.
We're going to concede 4-1.
We're going to concede, but a score win. Still scoring at will, David.
3-1.
3-1. Either way, 3 on the panel, all going for the City win on the weekend against Crystal Palace. Well, we will be here next week at the same time, Monday, 9 o'clock on Love Sport Radio, 9 to 10 on the Man City Fan Show with Nigel Rothband and David Blakeney. We will see you next week. Come on, you Blues. Without a love of my
own, I sell blue moon. This is Love Sport.
This program was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.